Today's daf in Masechet Sotah brought to you me Ben Chomot Yerushalayim is daf Chof Chet, and that brings us up to, I believe, the Gemara on the bottom line of Chof Zayinomut Beis last line. Okay, so the Mishnah used a pronoun without explaining exactly who the pronoun is referring to. There's no antecedent. It says, "Kishem shamayim botkim ota, kachamayim botkin oto." And we don't really know who is oto. So oto leman. It just strikes you at the beginning that, you know, this Baal who's so high and mighty, checking his wife out like this, maybe the water will check him out, you know? And if he's got any secret affairs on the side, maybe he'll blow up if he thinks he's so great. You know? So leman. Ilim of the Baal, so is that what it means? That it checks the husband out too? I said, what did the poor husband do? Baal Mayovid. V'chitem, no, it doesn't mean it checks him out in the sense of he'll bust the way she was. It's that it will check him out, literally. That is to say, to eat be avon. If he did anything wrong, so then the mayim will be bodek him, right? Maybe that's what it means. The problem is it can't mean that for another reason. Because if the husband indeed has done something wrong, so ki it be avon b'didei, the water wouldn't even work on her. So you couldn't take shim shemayim botkei mota. Mi batkei lemaya l'didei, didn't we say v'nika ish me avon v'ha isha yitisat avona? That the only time that we say that there's such a halacha of mayim botkim is dafka where v'nika ish me avon. But if it wasn't v'nika ish me avon, then enoch inami, it wouldn't be bodek her. So it can't be kishem shemayim botkim ota. That can't be the meaning either. Okay, so now what does it mean? Ve'ela leboel. So what does it mean? Kishem shemayim botkim ota, kachamayim botkim laboel, right? But that doesn't make sense either, because why then did it use a pronoun? I mean, take a look at a line later. What does it say? Kishem shasur lebal, kach asur leboel. So over there it identifies him as the lover. So what does it say in the Reish also? The water will not only check her out, it'll check out her lover. Right? I mean, why would we switch the reference? Well, it's like, come on. I mean, let's just see that inside. Hello, the boel. Lit nekiriktari sefer kishem shasur lebal, kach asur leboel. So, come on, I mean, it's just a question of literature, man. It means the boel, but what's the contrast? In the Reisha, it says amayim botkim ota. So, therefore, it says amayim botkim ota. In the Sefer, it says asur lebaal. So, it says asur leboel. I mean, it's just keeping it parallel, and therefore makes perfectly good sense to read it that way. Try to get a Moshe online here. Shenemar uva uva. Now you will recall that we weren't sure what exactly we were darshaning. Were we darshaning the vav of ba'u? It could have said uva'u, or were we darshaning two separate references? Uva'u hamayim ha'elu avo'u hamayim. The truth is it says it three times in the parsha. Uva'u. We're going to see why it has to say it three times. But what was the reference in the Mishnah? Ba'u uva'u, which would be the way that we would have explained, what do we need the vav for? Could have just said ba'u, it says uva'u, and therefore it means to tell me ba'el and ba'al. Or is it the repetition of the entire word? Oh, uva'u uva'u kama. Toshma. Well, read on. Shishem shasra la'bal kachasra la'bo'el shenema nitma'a v'nitma'a. Okay, so over there we're darshaning the vav. No. I have the same question over there. Is the point of the repetition of nitma'a? It's true, one of the nitma'a says v'nitma'a, and one just says plain nitma'a. So I don't know whether we're talking about the vav, and we're contrasting what could have been nitma'a, and it says v'nitma'a, or are we simply referring to two different words, quote, nitma'a, unquote, quote, v'nitma, unquote. Same question there. I don't know whether we're darshaning the double lashon or whether we're darshaning the vav. So, I got the same question. So is it nitma nitma'a or nitma venitma'a karma? Toshma? Well, it's very clear from the Sefer. Rebbe Omer shnei pa'amim ha'amurim b'parashah. Venitma'a venitma'a. Should say nitma venitma'a echad labal v'echad labal. Rebbe is arguing on Rebbe Akiva, right? So obviously, if you're telling me that Rebbe Akiva is learning from the nitma'a nitma repetition, so then he's saying the same thing Rebbe is saying. So what are you bringing me? Rebbe says that. That's what Rebbe Akiva said. So Michlal, if Rebbe Akiva says one thing and Rebbe says another thing, and Rebbe's making it very clear that it says the same word twice, you can't make a mistake of what Rebbe's saying. So then obviously what Rebbe Akiva was saying was the Vav, Nitma, Vinitma, not two separate words. So Vavika Darish. Therefore, let's take a look at the Parsha overall, okay? Because according to Rebbe Akiva, since the word Uvo'u Hamayim is repeated three times, essentially it gives us six separate drushes, right? Because the Vav, in each one of those Uva'us, because it's when we're darshaning the opening of the Mishnah, Ba'u, Uva'u, Nitma'a, Vinitma. Okay, so tell me, what do I do with these six separate psikim? So, Aliba to Rebbe Akiva, Ilkach, the Rebbe Akiva, Shita Kroy Ktivin. According to him, we have the repetition three times of Uva'u Ba Hamayim Amorim, Lima Orarim, Uvo Amayim, Lint Blanpo Yorech, and so on. Each one of them is two, not one. What do we need six for? Well, okay, look. Chad Litzava Dida. We have over here the fact that you should give the water for this purpose, right? And that's her. But there's also Remet Chaz. The Vav adds the Boel. The purpose of giving the water is for her, and then the purpose of giving the water is also for him. Chad la asiya dida. The other is coming to tell me that we should actually, telling the Kohen, okay, now give it to her. Not, this is what the water is for. I'm going to make this water for that. Now we say, okay, now give it to her. Vishkata isha uva uva, right? So that's the actual act. V'chad, the Vav, is saying, and giving the water is giving the water to him as well, so to speak. Chad las yadida v'chad las yadide. And chad li yadida. Remember that we said before that we have to know that the Seder Hadvarim is the lanpo yorech is going to be coming after the beten, because the water is going to be bedek in the way that it goes in, even though the Kalola says it in the other direction. So he said Shalolo Tzilaz al Hamayim, because at first the Kohen, when he tells her, he says, Yirechech Vefelet, Ubitnech Tzavech, so then he has to tell her that you should know, but that's not the way that it's going to happen. It's going to be Baidik, as we said before, Bederech Nisatan, Vitzavta Bitna, Venafla Yirechas. You have to tell her that, because otherwise everybody would say, oh, that's not what she said is going to happen. So chad, and that's what's going to happen to her, and that's what's going to happen to him. So basically, we have to be modia. This is the Seder HaDvarim, despite the fact that he doesn't drink any water, but it doesn't matter. He is her in this. It's like one of these false pregnancies things, or real pregnancies. The husband's going through the same thing, you know. So if you're a lover, you go through the same thing. She blows up her stomach, you'll blow up your stomach. According to Rebbe, however, we only have three psukim, because he doesn't darshan the Vav. So he's darshaning each one of these uva'us as a single word. So how does he understand it? Well, he says it's not addressing the bo'el. It's basically, yeah, it's a chad letzavo, chad leasiyah, v'chad leyadiyah. Okay, but then Rebbe is leaving out the lover from the whole story. He doesn't have any of the ramazim. So where does he know it from bichlal? I mean, I know from the venitma nitma that Rebbe was doresh, that she's asura leboel, that he said beferish, but he never addressed the uvo uvo, right? He only addressed the nitma nitma. So I don't know. So Rebbe asked the Gemara, how does Rebbe know? Kishem shemayim botkin, ota kach botkin otom, inole. Ah, that he has not from the Vav, but rather from the Lashon of the Pasuk. Did it not strike you that the Lashon of the Pasuk is very weird? Uvoa maim ma'orim ha'ele b'me'ayich latzbot baten v'lanpil yarech. Who's beten? Who's, I understand, if we're talking to her, this is what it's going to do to your beten. You're talking about like some type of the universal tummy. Where's the universal tummy? So obviously we're making it generic because it's not only referring to her, it's referring to him. That's the point. So we're trying to say, who's Yerech? Let's put any Yerech, any Beten. So therefore it's coming to say that it's also his Beten and his Yerech. So that's the Bitnov Yerecho Shalboel. Is that? I understand. Maybe it means Binaverish Nivellet. It can't be referring to the Nivellet. It says Vitsafta Bitna. It refers to her beten. Nafla Yerecha. So we know that. Harib Bitna Virecha Shanivellet. What are we saying the Lashon of here as a universal? Manimikaim, let's both Batalapi Yerech. Bitno Virecha Shaboel. Ah. So what about, I mean, yeah, that's a good point. So then we have that pasuk. So why do we need the uvo? What's that pasuk coming for? V'idach, ahud modala kohen, the beten beresha, v'hader yarech shalolo tzilaz al hamayim hamarim. The reason that he says it in that way is to stress the fact that it is actually in a separate order from the way that the Mayim was claimed to be acting. The Kohen wants her to know, but it's not going to really do that. So I put it into these terms in order to point out that, well, I mean, obviously a Beten is there before a Yorech, and you're swallowing first. So therefore we're referring to the structure of the body. You know, we're not focusing on the idea that this is going to do something. We're focusing on what it's doing too. Beten, Yorech. So, oh, you mean it would be the Beten because that's where it's going. It'll be the Yorech because that's where it's going to. So that clarifies to her that there won't be Otsos Laz Alamayim. V'idach says, okay, so the question is, so where does Rabbi Shmuel know that? Rabbi know that? You could have said Bitna Virecha and still said that. I mean, I would have understood it from the order. Do I have to give her a biology lesson? No, what do I need to say Betan Yorech as a focus on the organs? You say Bitna Virecha. The point is that there's two separate limudim over here. There's the reference to Betan qua Betan and Yorech qua Yorech. And then there's the order of it, beten yorech, as opposed to lanpiu yorech v'litzbot baten, which we had in the klola. So therefore, we hear both in yonim. We hear that it goes, first of all, in the order, shlolo tzilaz, and furthermore, that it's the reference to universal beten and yorech, which is the bo'el. So maybe that's the whole point. Because if it was referring only to the boil and not to teach you not to be motzi laz alamayim, then you once again could have used the pronoun. You just would have made the pronoun masculine. You could have said lidpol bitno. Because I mean, what's the point? You want to make her feel, don't think you're going to kill yourself. You're going to kill your lover too. You know, there's always something romantic about that, you know. So, but if that's the point, say it. Just make it his beten, his yorech. I say beten v'yorech. So basically there's two different issues that we're focusing on over here. The Seder HaDvarim and the Remez to the Bo'el. Says Rabbi Yoshua, yes indeed, kach ha'yodorech Zechariah ben HaKatzav, he darshaned also like Rabbi Akiva with the extra vav. Now, what we have in the Parsha is therefore a machlokas how to be doresh the three psukim. Because Alibra Rabbi Akiva, we really have four psukim. We have, when we're focusing now on nitma'a, Right, so, okay, we've gotten through the two very different approaches of the Vavs of the Uvo. Turned out, Elibe de Rabbi Akiva, they were all references as well to him. And according to Rebbe, we needed an external reference to him. Fine. Then we get on to the Nitma'a. Okay, so three times in the Parsha, it talks about Nitma'a. So, Vihi Nitma'a, Vishkata Mayim Vaita Im Nitma'a, and then we have Vinitma'a. Now, the Vinitma'a, according to Rebbe Akiva, Isha Tachat Isha Vinitma'a, at the end of the Zotorat, is an extra vav. So there's really four psukim. And what this braita does is it introduces the simple machlokas, but it lets us know that something's hiding behind the scenes. And in the end, we figure out that it's a reference to four separate psukim. So therefore, Tana Rabbanan, Shalosh Pe'amim Ha'amurim B'Parasha, it says three separate times. It says, Im Nitma'a. So that's talking Vaita, Im Nitma'a, Vatimom Al B'Isha, Uvoba Mayim Ha'ma'orim. And then it mentions Stam, the word Nitma'a, Vehi Nitma'a. And then it mentions the word Vinitma'a at the very end, Vizotarata Kinahat, Ashatista Isha Tachat Isha, Vinitma'a. Three psukim that mention Nitma'a. Why do I need three psukim? Lama. Echad lebaal, echad leboel, ve'echad letruma, to tell me that she's psula letruma, and that she becomes, therefore, even if she's a bat kohen, and even if her lover was a kohen, it doesn't matter, she nifselet lekehuna, even when he divorces her, she can't go back to her father's home, she's always psula lekehuna. Fine. So this is Rabbi Akiva. Now, it's from Rabbi Yishmael's response that we're going to learn that there is something hidden between the lines, which turns out to be Rabbi Akiva's use of the vav of the Vehi Nitma'a. But right now, we find Rabbi Yishmael's response to be a complete non sequitur, in which Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yishmael seem to be talking past each other. So note that Rabbi Akiva made no mention of her din vis-a-vis the kuhuna. Which, can she marry now a kohen after this happens or not? I mean, we don't really know that at this point she was Vinitma. We're treating the whole thing as if she was Vinitma. I mean, so let's say at this point the husband would die. We would never have the Bedika the Mayim. They don't want to be Mashkin the Mayim. Can she ultimately marry another Kohen, or is she Nifselet Menakuna? Says Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Akiva didn't say a word about that. Says Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Akiva, what are you talking about? What do we need a pasuk for the kuhuna? It's a kal v'chomer. Huh? What do we? He never said we did. Okay, so that we'll take up later. I mean, isn't it a kal v'chomer if a grusha, when her husband divorces her, can she go back home? Right? She was a bat kohen. She gets divorced. She doesn't have any children. So what does it say? Milechem aviyatocha. Goes back home, and she continues to eat truma. Despite the fact that she is asura to a kohen because she's a grusha. And what do you see from over there? It's easier to be nifselet min a kohuna than it is to be nifselet from a chilas truma. She's a grusha. She's beferish nifselet from any kohen. She's not allowed to marry a grusha. But she's allowed to continue to eat truma in her father's home. No. So if a grusha is muteret and truma, is a surah for the kahuna, so you just brought me a pasuk that this woman is not allowed to eat truma, then obviously she's a surah la kahuna. Therefore I say, says Rabbi Yishmael, one of your limudim is unnecessary. Of course, Rabbi Akiva never said he has such a limud. All right. And therefore, mata malomra vi'in nitma, or vi'ilo nitma, let me ask you something. How do you understand the pasuk? Is that a weird pasuk? V'avar alav ruach kina. So now I expect that it's supposed to be telling me v'kineet ishto, and what happened? The pasuk says, what happened? V'hi nitma. What do you mean? So then what's he being mashker for? V'hi nitma. If she's definitely nitma, then what is all of this about? And then the pasuk continues, "Oh, aval of ruach kina v'kinech v'ilo nitma." Well, if you know she wasn't nitma, then why are you being? The whole thing makes no sense. So why do you say v'nitma v'ilo nitma? If she was nitma, and you know she's nitma, why are you giving her the water? So lama shota. Im lo nitma, how are you bringing her into the Beis Din bichlal? Lama mashka? Magid lecha katuf. Therefore, what's the Torah saying? It's saying, you don't know whether he nitma or he lo nitma. But we are referring to it as if we know. Ve'yinitma, meaning even at this point, though we do not know what happened, we create a vada iser and we say, hinitma. Okay, so what does that tell you? Magid rakatu, shasafek asura. Now, I say, says Rabbi Shmuel, that that's the whole point of this extra pasuk, because what it's telling me is that I'm comparing the din of the sota to the din of tuma. Obviously, nitma'ah, this spiritual impurity of her having had slept with somebody that she's asura, is not the same thing as touching a sheretz, is it? I mean, that's tuma, you know, sheretz touches a loaf, whatever. Which, of course, is the next issue in our Mishnah, right?
But the only way that we know it is if she drinks it, that she's...
No, she's asura immediately. After she drinks, we matter her. But the moment that we say that she's nisteret, then we say v'hi nitma. So now I say, okay, why does the Torah refer to it in this way, v'hi nitma? Because it's telling you, look, treat this as tuma, okay? So if you're treating it as tuma, now, I would say, therefore, mikanat adam l'sheretz. It's the same thing about a sheretz, because we're treating it as tuma. And it's a kavachomer, if a sota. The din of the sota, in terms of the actual sexual relations that she had with this guy, lo asaba shogei kemezid, va'onis kiratzon, the Torah does not create an iser on a woman who was raped, or a woman who made a mistake and thought that this was her husband. It turned out that there was this other guy in the house, and she had no idea who was taking advantage of her. Now, nonetheless, in this case where the Baal had been mekane, and we don't know what happened, the Torah is saying, treat the suffix as a vadai. And she is considered to be tume'ah, and she's asura alav until such time as the Torah is mevarer the suffix with the ma'im ha'morim. But until you're mevarer the suffix, she's vadai asur. If that's the case, a sheretz, where it makes absolutely no difference what happened. It's only the yes, touch the sheretz, no, touch the sheretz. It's irrelevant whether you wanted to touch the sheretz fell, whatever it is. Bottom line is, it's metame, okay? So a sheretz shasaba shogei kemezid va'onis kiratzon. So then all that's left is yes or no. So if by the sota, where we have a whole complex series of issues, because even if yes, maybe she was raped. Even if yes, maybe she made a mistake. I mean, and nonetheless we say, look, bottom line is, if we don't know what happened, she's the man. So koshi came, we don't have all of these levels of suffix. If you are in doubt as to whether Taharot came in contact with a dead sheretz, then the halacha is that it's asaba safik vadai. It's as if it's vadai tame. You'll be serif truma, and so on. Eno dinji asaba safik vadai, and mimakom shabata. You have to apply all of the source to the limud. In other words, we're learning out a din of safik tuma from sota, which the Torah is pretending is tuma, right? That's what we're doing. I mean, it's not, the sota's not really tuma, okay. But it's telling you apply the dinim of sota to the dinim of sheretz. Now, a sota by definition, since it requires that he nistera, so the only din of the sota is where there's a reshut hayachid, where it's possible to be nisteret. There's only two people there, her and the putative lover. Therefore, this halacha that the Torah was oisa shogei, was also suffik kevadai by suffik tuma sheretz, is only true in reshut hayachid. So av sheretz reshut hayachid. Furthermore, the case of the sota is that it involves an intelligent being. So can we ask the sota, listen, honey, did you sleep with the guy or not? I mean, that's what we do the whole time here, right? So a sota is by definition, if she doesn't have dat lishael, then the whole halakha of sota does not apply. You tell someone without dat, as we saw, even if she can't speak, it doesn't apply. So therefore, needs to be dover sheish bo dat lishael. That means that all of the sfeikas that we're talking about, of the tumat sheretz, also has to be dafka if you know how to talk to the lizard. Well, not exactly. It would mean that there is intelligence that would be involved. So in other words, if we're talking about a case where someone was present, and he's moving around Tyrus. I was like, did I touch that dead sheretz over there? Oh, I don't know. Okay, so then it's vada tame. But if there's no person involved, we walk into a room and we see that somehow a sheretz died, and we don't know whether it came into contact with this, whatever the suffix was. So then the whole halakha doesn't apply. And we would never say that a safek tumra shita yachid, if it's ein bo dat lishael, that its safek would be vaday tame. Therefore, mikan amru, and this explains the basis of the ruling, that a dover sheyesh bo dat lishael b'shut hayachid sveiko tame, as long as it satisfies these requirements. First of all, it's in b'shut hayachid. Secondly, there's an intelligence that can be asked what happened. The din, therefore, is similar to the sota, that is sveiko tame. But b'reshut harabim, sveiko tahor, which actually the Gemara boils down elsewhere to halacha l'mashmi Sinai, because it wouldn't necessarily follow directly from here, just based on the pasuk of Nitma'a. If it's ein bo dat lishael, and therefore does not come under the rules that are derived from a sota, because by definition the sota yesh bo dat lishael, then bein b'reshut hayachid, bein b'reshut harabim, sveiko tahor. So over there, we would have a cheskas taira. We have a cheskas taira. So then you can rely on your chazaka.
What's an example of that for this case, this latter case? What would be an example of
that? Where an animal had a sheretz in its mouth and walked through passing taira, so we don't know whether it came in contact. Since you can't ask the animal whether it was an agia, so then it remains okay. If it was tar before, it remains the suffix doesn't prove it to be tame, and as a chazakas, you're allowed to be semi on a cheskas taira. Now, this is all the conversation listed in the Braita. Now, would you mind if I go back and understand what the heck is going on? There's a conversation in which nobody's talking to each other. What is Rabbi Shmuel saying? It's a kal v'chomer, you don't need a pasuk. Rabbi Akiva's talking about Truma, and Rabbi Shmuel says to him, well, you don't need a pasuk for kahuna. Kahuna? We're not ever talking about kahuna. What are you talking about? So, how do you explain the fact that Amar Rabbi Akiva Truma and Rabbi Shmuel's Mahadeh Le'i Kuhuna? Not to mention the fact that indeed Rabbi Akiva sort of leaves out Kuhuna. How come he doesn't address Kuhuna? How come he first addresses the question of Truma? The two, Rabbi Akiva, where does he know Kuhuna from? And if you're going to tell me that Kuhuna lo tzricha kro, what do I need a pasuk to tell me that she's a sur la kahuna? I mean, if the Torah is telling me that I'm supposed to treat her as if she slept with the guy, right? Okay, let me ask you something. An ashes ish that sleeps with someone, does she become pasul la kahuna? Yeah. She has a din of a zonah. That's Rabbi Akiva's drasha. Kitiela ish zar. Anyone that is zar for her in terms of her relationship. So and so on. She becomes a zona. So once she becomes a zona, you're saying a suffix zona has a din of zona vada. But if that were true, that it's just a simple logical conclusion, that if we're calling her vinitma, so then she has to qualify as a zona across the board, then why do I need a pasuk for truma? A woman, Hebrew truma takarashim lo tochal, is also possible for truma too. So then truma namino tiboikro. Shreya saba safik zonak zona. So obviously, there's something missing here, because according to Rabbi Akiva, it's not that we're giving her all of the dinim of the zonah. Okay, so he needs a separate pasuk. So if that's the case, how did he skip the question of whether she's kshera l'kahuna and go directly to the question of whether she's psula l'truma? And therefore, now we understand what bothered us the whole time. Why did Rabbi Akiva say there's three psukim? If Rabbi Akiva is dorish the vav, there's four psukim. Because one of these nitma'as was not nitma'ah, was vinitma'ah, which means halibah to Rabbi Akiva. There's arba'ah kroy, and that he never spoke about. So now how about using your little noggin and figuring out what's missing in this braita? So clearly, L'Rabbi Yishmael, we don't want to start getting into the question, I hold there's four, you heard there's three. We take the three psukim first, and we're all agreed that there's three psukim. I'll tell you how I'm dorish three psukim, you tell me how you're dorish your three psukim. Now, we've got another problem, which according to me means we have four psukim. So you're going to have to explain away where that fourth pasuk comes from. You say it comes from a kal vachomer. Okay, fine. So now, this is what we have to discuss. So therefore, I say arba'ah kroy, because in reality, we have four psukim of nitma, one, of course, being the vav, of vinitma. So therefore, we have chad labal, chad laboel, chad lakuna, v'chad latruma. Rabbi Shmuel's response was to the hidden message in the words of Rabbi Akiva, because the moment that Rabbi Akiva skipped kahuna and went directly to truma, it was evident that he was using a pasuk for kahuna, because as we saw, kahuna comes first. You could be pasul kahuna and still be mutar to truma, so you would have no right to jump to the din of psul kahuna. Therefore, Rabbi Shmuel says, I know what's going on over here. You're telling me your conclusions about the three psukim because you're taking for granted that you would have a right to apply the third pasuk of vinitma'ah to the dinim of truma because it already applies to the kahuna. However, that to me is not a problem. I don't need four psukim to achieve exactly the same result, because what do I need a pasuk for the din of the kahuna? It's a kal vachomer. Therefore, tainis Rabbi Shmuel. Actually, tlata kroy ktive, chad labal, chad laboel, v'chad latruma. Now, if that's true, then I know the kuna from a kal vachomer. Now, of course, the question is, where did Rabbi Shmuel get the idea that the third pasuk was referring to the more difficult limud? Maybe on the contrary, that the third pasuk was referring only to an Isra of Kuhuna, and she's Muteris in Truma. That is the obvious question that needs to be asked now, and is the first question that will involve us tomorrow morning, Bezrat Hashem, if we are Zoha. You, it's all. Hey, it's scary. Oto, Laman, who is Oto? Yilim of the Baal. What did the poor Baal do? V'chitema, obviously it means botkinoto, that if he did something, so he blows up too. Yid be'avon batkinemai, I mean, and that seems very appropriate, doesn't it? Well, it does, but the point is, if yid be'avon b'didei, mi batkinemai aledidah at all, v'otanye v'nika ish mi'avon, v'isha yitisad avona, only bizman sha ish minuke mi'avon, amayim botkin betishto. But ena ish b'nukem yavon ena mayim botkim b'tishto at all. So it can't mean that. El, what's it referring to? The boel? To say so. I mean, litne kidikari seifa. Kishem shasur lebal kachasra leboel. No, please. Olam leboel. But you have to take a look at the parallels in the Mishnah. The seifa, the reisha, I did a ton of ota. Okay, what's parallel to ota? Oto. The Sefer, it says, Baal. What's the parallel to Baal? Boel, that's all. Shaitana Baal, Tana Boel. Shinemar, Uva'u, Uva'u. How is that supposed to be read? Is that Ba'u, Uva'u, darshaning the Vav, or the repetitive Uva'u's come? Tashma, Kishem Shasra Baal, Kakasra Boel, Shinemar, Nitma'a, Vinitma'a. Yeah, but I got news for you. I had the same question about how to read that. Is that nitma'a in terms of the repetitive word, or is it nitma'a v'nitma'a? Toshma. Biriktani Sefer Rebbe Omer Shnei Pa'amim Ha'amurim B'Parasham V'nitma'a v'nitma'a. Echad Lebaal, Echad Leboel. So obviously Rebbe Akiva was darshaning not the Shnei Pa'amim, but the nitma'a v'nitma'a with the Vavik Adar Shilkach. Boils down to the fact that according to Rabbi Akiva, we've got six separate psukim of ba'uz and uva'uz. And we've got four separate pasuks of nitma'az with one additional ve. So, here's how we read it. Shita kroy k'tive, okay? Chad l'tzavodi da v'chad l'tzavodi dey. Chad l'asiyadi da v'chad l'asiyadi dey. Chad l'yediyadi da v'chad l'yediyadi dey. And according to Rabbi, we only have three psukims of uva'uz. And that goes, chad l'tzava, chad l'asiya, chad l'yediyah. Now, of course, that leaves Rabbi hanging in terms of the bo'el. How does he know any of that? So Rabbi, k'shem shemayim bodkim ota, kach bodkim oto minole. That says Rabbi, ein hachinami. I learned that from the pasuk of latzpot paten v'lant pil yarech. Now, this adds the bitov yarech rosho bo'el. So saith you, Atomer bid navi rechosha boel. Maybe it's bid navi rechosha la nivelet. Well, no, doesn't mean that, because it already says tzavta bid nav and afla yirecha. So abare bid navi rechosha la nivelet amur. Mani mikayim latzbot baten lat bil yarech bid navi rechosha boel. V'idach, that just means that you have to be careful to put it in order. And modala hakohen da beten bereish v'hada yaresh lo tzilaz al mayim amorim. V'idach, if that's all it was coming to say, it could have said bitna v'yarecha. I mean, this idea of creating a generic concept of a beten in yarech, what's that all about? Shema amina leboel. Okay, so maybe that's all that it's about. I mean, so ema kulelach yudeata. Because if it was referring to the tugging at her heartstrings about what will happen to your poor lover, why not just fess up instead of murdering both yourself and him? So came lichto bitno v'yarecho. Why stress beten v'yarech? Shema mina that there's also a limud laboel. Fine. So we now know both. Shema mina tarte. Or maybe Yeshua kacha yadoresh zechari ben hakatzav. Now, the same question, therefore, we have benogea, the difference between four psukim of nitma'a and three psukim of nitma'a. That's what's really going to boil down to the issue over here. So first, let's analyze the shalosh pa'amim, ha'amurim b'parasha, the im nitma'a, nitma'a, and v'nitma'a. Why do I need all of this? Echad l'baal, echad l'bo'el, echad l'truma, divrei v'akiva. Amr Bishmal, well, I think one of those is extra because it's a kavachomer. If a gerusha who's muteret betruma is asura tetekuna, once we've established zosh asura betruma en odinsha asura lekuna, what then is the point of saying mi nitma mi lo nitma im nitma lama shota mi lo nitma lama mashka? It's ridiculous. Unless that's the point, what it's saying is, look, you don't know. So that's coming to tell me, you may not know, but you have to treat it as if you do know. And she says, Asura vada'it. So Magid l'chakatu, shasafek asura mikanat adam l'sharet, because the Torah is referring to both of them with the same word. So if it's sota shalo asaba shogi kemezi, v'one is kiratzon, which gives us multiple levels of ambivalence as to what's going on over here. And nonetheless, the Torah says, look, you forget about that. The issue is over here, what you don't know creates the issue of sota. And we're also basafik kivadai, so a sheretz, which is nowhere near as complicated, and it's also bashogi kemezit, and on his karatz, and it's just a matter of mechanics. Did it touch or did it not touch? And of course, all of this is restricted to the same rules of the makom shabata. I mean, what's the makom shabata? Sota. If the sota is a reshut hayachid, sheretz is also a reshut hayachid. And if it's sota is a davar sheyesh bo da'at lishael, so too is the sheretz a davar sheyesh bo da'at lishael. Umikan amru, the rule would be, therefore, Tover sheish bo dat mishael, which is also brishut hayachid, tzveka tamei. Brishut hayachid tzveka tamei. What if ein bo dat lishael? Bein brishut. How do you like that? The truth is, it didn't disappear, Richie. It didn't. No. What happened is that when you blinked, you accidentally fell into a different quantum universe, which, in which you never bought an iPad because they never invented them. But everything else is essentially the same. The daf remains the same. The discussion remains the same. It's just a shame that you blink. Oftentimes when you blink, you never know what you're opening. You never know what you're opening your eyes to.
What's the connection to you?
Wait. Let me first just finish. That was too much fun. Then, how do you explain Rabbi Shmuel's absurd behavior over here? Omer Rabbi Akiva Truma, and he starts talking about Kahuna? Not to mention the fact that, indeed, how come Rabbi Akiva never did discuss Kahuna? How could he jump straight to Truma? So, Vitula Rabbi Akiva Kahuna Minolik. And if you're going to tell me Kahuna doesn't need a posik, because, I mean, what's Torah defined as a zona? What do you need a posik for? Hari Asaba Safik Zonak is Zonak. So then Truma doesn't need a posik for the same reason. Drumanami loti boy crow because tiki ela isar and also basafik zonak is zona. Therefore, the truth is that obviously Rabbi Akiva is four psukim. Chad, because we have got that extra vav that he's dorish. Chad la baal, chad la boel, chad la kunav, chad la truma. According to Rabbi Shmuel, tlata kroyktive, chad la baal, chad la boel, chad la truma. And how do I know kahuna? I know it from a Kal Vachomer, which of course leaves us completely up in the air with, but how did he suddenly jump to something that could be used for Kal Vachomer instead of saying that he doesn't have the Kal Vachomer and the Limut was only for the Chomer, not for the Kal? To be discussed tomorrow.